This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back nine on Grant and Danny starts right now. How'd you feel about the front nine?
But okay about it. Shanked a couple shots. Couldn't think of the right words a couple different times in the garden, in the woods, trying to find my ball.
But you had a really nice birdie at one point.
Be all right. Made one good thing about Jerry Jones.
Did you?
I felt good about it.
What was it again?
I don't remember, but I mean,
You felt like it was good?
I chuckled in here, pointing to my own heart.
I like that. Beltway Blitz at noon. Craig Hoffman, J.J. Regan on the Caps, Nick Ashew on the Wizards all coming up. Let's get it started. Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter, joins us to discuss some of the goings-on in Ashburn. Why don't you answer the question we asked our callers earlier today? If Trent Williams wants to be back in Washington with the Redskins, would you bring him back at 32 to play left tackle in a contract year where he might leave next year anyway, or are you trying to trade him for a pick or two?
I think I would probably try to keep him. I'm assuming that he is still the player he was. You're not going to upgrade at that position by trading him. Now, you could say long-term prognosis, we upgrade by trading him because we get some asset in return for the Redskins. But ultimately, I think getting him and allowing, you know, him the chance to maybe even have this redemption story, you're trying to turn the narrative around your franchise to bring him back, to let Ron Rivera showcase what kind of person he is, that he could bring Trent Williams back. Like, I think there's a lot there, and it starts with the fact where I started that he is a tremendous player as long as he's right. They might be able to figure out more about his medical situation by getting him back and evaluating him and, you know, working him out and seeing how he looks. But I think at this point, you're probably not going to get a first rounder. You might get a second rounder, which I would consider, but if it's going to be a third rounder, I would probably think you're better off just keeping Trent and maybe even re-signing him to something where you have him for not just one more year, but two or three at the end of his prime.
Craig, I enjoyed the piece you wrote for thefandc.com. It's available right now. About how Kevin O'Connell was still almost the offensive coordinator here until he wasn't. Can you chronicle that for us quickly for folks that haven't seen it?
Yeah, I mean, I think where Kevin was at the end of the season was, I need to see who the head coach is going to be, and then I will talk to that person about whether or not I want to stay. And I think there were very limited number of options of guys that he would have considered staying for, because what he really learned over the last year is that fit and a unified vision is incredibly important. Now, what he got in head coach Ron Rivera is someone who actually believed the same thing, that a unified vision, that a coaching staff with coherence and all those things were extremely important. And what those discussions that Rivera and O'Connell, which were incredibly positive, led to is the fact that they didn't exactly have the same vision, and that both of them felt that that was really important. And so that shared principle, if you will, actually led to them splitting, because they realized that was the best thing for both parties. That, you know, Ron Rivera wanted people around him that he was comfortable with, and while he was comfortable with O'Connell, he wanted to bring in a lot of people in terms of staff that Kevin didn't know. And Kevin really wanted to be somewhere, if he was going to be the coordinator, where he knew a lot of the people and that he was going to have a unified vision with them and have a relationship with them. So I think that ultimately is what leads to him leaving, that he, you know, he and Rivera had an amicable breakup, if you will, even though the relationship had barely started. But when Rivera wanted to hire his own staff, that's when Kevin said, I think it's probably best that we go our separate ways.
Yeah, and they finally let him do that, too, which, you know, they could have held him against his will if they wanted for a year. So I think all parties involved probably did what was best for them. So now you got Scott Turner as the offensive coordinator. What do we know about him?
I mean, he's had really good success in some places. He's moved around quite a bit, just the nature of the business and some lower-level positions. But, for instance, he was Josh Gordon's position coach in Cleveland, the 1,600-yard season he had at receiver. He's been mostly a quarterback coach and was a quarterback, obviously, coming up. And his father, everyone knows, Norv Turner, a longtime NFL coach. He's grown up around the game. He's a smart guy that I think his specialty is the ability to develop relationships and understand how people learn, which is incredibly important for Dwayne Haskins, because that was one of the struggles with Jay Gruden. Is Jay just didn't teach the way that Dwayne learned, and neither was really that flexible. And ultimately, I think in that situation, it's on the teacher. And one of the things that Scott Turner was able to figure out in Carolina was the best way to teach Cam Newton, unfortunately, Newton's body betrayed him, and they never really got the chance to shine because Cam couldn't throw the ball 10 yards down the field for a lot of the end years where Turner was with him. But there were many stories written, and Cam was telling everyone that would listen that he had a better understanding of the offense and had the ability to make better decisions based off of what Scott Turner was teaching him compared to at any point previously in his career. Unfortunately, as I said, the body failed him, and that's why ultimately the stats might not look that much different than earlier in his career.
Thank you, Craig. You have very little body fat. Appreciate it, buddy. See ya.
Try my best, Danny. See ya.
This is a low body fat Beltway Blitz, by the way. We're talking hockey, Tommy. Go ahead. Double J Reagan, who was also in very good shape. Good for you, Double J. Here's my question. Why is Nick Jensen yakking all over himself? That turnover last night was hideous. What's the deal with Nick Jensen?
Well, first of all, do you have the right Double J if you're talking about being in good shape? Appreciate it. But anyway, on to Nick Jensen. I think there's a confidence issue there for sure. I think since he came into Washington, he has struggled. He was fine when in the first 10, 15 games he was making smart plays. He looked like a good one-on-one defenseman. But ever since, I think there's a system issue there where in Detroit he played primarily on the right side and he stayed on the right side. He's a right defenseman in Washington, but the system just calls for you to crisscross with your defense all the time, and he's not comfortable playing on his left. He said that in the locker room last season, and I think the confidence has devolved from there. And you saw that turnover last night that led to Philadelphia's first goal. I mean, he loses the puck before the forecheck even reaches him. So that's clearly he's thinking too much about it. I think there's a confidence issue there for sure. And I think he could benefit from getting maybe a fewer high-pressure minutes so that he can sort of recuperate his game a little bit.
A lot being made about Braden Holtby right now. I didn't think yesterday the first or the third goal was obviously his fault, but Ilya Samsonov's been so good that it's become a storyline. What's your take on Samsonov, Holtby, and the goaltending situation?
My take is that there is no goalie situation. I understand why people are talking about it. You have the longtime starter and his future backup outplaying him right now. There's no question. Samsonov has been the better goalie this year. But look at the situation the Caps have. I mean, I get people on Twitter every day telling me that they should trade Holtby. This team is going for the Stanley Cup. That is their goal this year. You have a goalie tandem of Braden Holtby and Ilya Samsonov. Why would you give up Holtby for a goalie tandem of Samsonov and Phoenix Copley or Vitek Vanacek? With all due respect to those guys, you are in the perfect position right now. For those people who think Holtby hasn't been playing well enough, well, guess what? You have Ilya Samsonov, who you can turn to. And for those people who are worried about his lack of experience, guess what? You have Braden Holtby on your roster, who we saw this happen to during the Cup run, who didn't play all that well in the regular season, but when they turned to Philip Grubauer in the playoffs and he wasn't good enough, they had the option of Braden Holtby. So I get Holtby hasn't been playing all that well. I think there's a lot of people who are seeing what they want to see. Holtby was not the problem last night whatsoever. There were two breakaway goals. That's not on Holtby. So I think the Caps are exactly where they need to be with their goalie situation.
Thank you, former NBA point guard Jarrett Jack Reagan. Much appreciated, my friend. Let's talk basketball, please.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, man. Again, the low body fat Beltway Blitz continues. The handsomest man I ever did see, Nick Ashew, last night. His beard is even more handsome than he is, if that's even possible. Nick, if the fate of the world relied on the Wizards beating the Magic, the world would be over. What the hell's going on there?
It's one of those things where Grant and I were actually talking about this last night because I saw him there and we just looked at each other and said, why can't they beat the Magic? And it's so true. They go out and they beat the Celtics. They go and they beat the Nuggets. And you watch these great wins against really good teams. And then they play the Magic and forget how to basketball. It's just this weird thing. It's not like this is uncommon because we see this in sports a lot where like every team just has this weird mental block against other teams. I mean, some of it's certainly matchups. You just have a lot of size that Orlando brings to the table that the Wizards can't counter. But some of it too is just you kind of throw your hands up in the air and go, why can't they beat them? And then you realize, oh, wait, the Wizards aren't still actually a good team. They're fun to watch. So they're going to have these games where they beat really good teams, and then they lay eggs against teams they should be.
Admiral Schofield, career high. Troy Brown playing better. Is either of those two storylines worth getting excited about?
Troy Brown I'd be more excited about because he's a first-round pick. Admiral Schofield's somebody that's going to be, once they're healthy again, and hopefully that soon, he's probably back in the G League, and that's where he should be, back and forth, getting some time up at this level and then back down developing more. But, you know, Troy Brown's the guy you really want to watch because this was somebody a lot of people weren't happy about this pick, but at the same time, when you watch him, you see flashes of talent. You see a guy that can handle the ball, that can play some defense, that can do a lot of different things on the court, but doesn't do all of it really well. And a lot of times he's passive, and he reminds me of Otto Porter right now. And I really hope that that trend doesn't continue. But when he starts to get confident and starts to make shots, you can see his eyes start to light up. So he's somebody that hopefully can continue to develop more confidence and then actually becomes a player that's more consistent and they can really count on him moving forward.
Nick, you're just so handsome. I know we're not supposed to talk about that. I got an HR warning in my email, both my company email and the Gmail that I use because it's more convenient. So I'm not going to try to do that any further, but I'm just letting you know I happen to think you're very handsome. I'll see you later, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate all the weirdness every time I come on with you guys. It's the best.
Why did you go to HR about us?
They actually did it themselves. I said nothing. Apparently they listen and think that you guys have just, I guess, crossed the line so much. So I'm glad that your email is working there. So that's good. Mine hasn't been working in a while. So
it is nice.
Email is working finally. Thank you, Nick.
I see you guys.
See you, well. Thanks to Nick Ashew, Craig Hoffman, J.J. Regan, and our entire cast and crew on the Beltway Blitz. We do it every day at noon to get you as much content on the teams you care about in one segment as possible. What is your preferred Super Bowl matchup? Let's delve into that next. Carl Hagelin at 12:45 today right here on The Fan. Charlie Slow's on his way out. Great to see him, and it means baseball is drawing near. Winterfest is this weekend. So if you want to get your taste of the Nationals in January, if you can't wait till the spring because you want to go see the World Series champs reminisce and live in some of that nostalgia and bathe in some of that October fun again this weekend, you can go hang out with a bunch of the players.
It is the coolest thing you get to do if you're a fan. I know not everybody gets to do it. I know you can't always take work off, et cetera. It's just different, man. It's more relaxed. The access is great. The guys are running the grind of the season where every second is getting prepared for a game. They're just trying to get themselves in shape, get their work in, shake off the cobwebs and the rust, and they're right there. They're right there. And conversations can be had. Insight can be had. You're probably going to end up, you know, if you got a kid, the kid's playing catch with Max Scherzer for a couple seconds. It's phenomenal. Spring training is the best. Similarly, it's great to have Charlie Slows around.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain this, but the Brock, who produces the afternoon show,
yeah,
does a bit when Chad's not here, and it stops promptly when Chad arrives, I'll tell you that. But he does a show, an interview, tonight's show style, you know, Johnny Carson sit-down interview with members of the staff.
Yeah, it's called Brockin' in the Bullpen.
Brockin' in the Bullpen. And he just had Charlie Slows on his show.
So, yeah, nobody will find this interesting, and if you're not here, it's not for you, and it isn't probably even funny to you, but we love it. And what happens is, so Brock basically, he sits on the corner in the bullpen in his chair, okay? Because he's in the corner, like whenever you go around the corner or you kind of walk around in the main area of outside of our studios, you inevitably are within a few feet of him. So he started doing this thing a couple weeks ago where he just plays music.
It's like they would play, please welcome Grant Paulson.
Exactly.
You come out from behind the curtain.
Late show music.
Yeah.
And he plays the music while you're standing next to him, and he just pulls out a chair and kind of pushes it under you and just pushes you into the chair. And then you're on this show called Brockin' in the Bullpen. And he has a piece of paper, and he points at it, and he says, I hear you do a show with Danny Ruye. And he asks, like, two questions that mean nothing.
And when you first experience it, I thought, what am I doing here? I don't understand this. I'm so confused.
You have no idea what's going
on. And then you go through it once, you go, that's all it is, and it's a wonderful bit. And we all get to experience it various times. I'm a two-time guest. How many times have you been on?
Like four.
Four, yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world. So he has these sound effects as well that he plays. So after each of your answers, there's a laugh track, or after each of your answers, he'll play some kind of clip of clapping or something. So Charlie Slows was just on the show. It was his first ever actual guest, and Charlie had no idea what was going on.
I mean, and everyone is dying.
But none of us really have any idea what's going on.
I just tweeted a video of it for me, like hiding, put my phone out around the corner watching it. People are guffawing. I mean, what a performance. Amazing.
It's my favorite thing. So Charlie on with Brock, if you want to see it, at Funny Danny.
Brockin' in the Bullpen.
Brockin' in the Bullpen. It's the best thing going here at 106.7 The Fan. What is your preferred Super Bowl matchup? That's what we want to know. The Redskins having been eliminated, we always kind of take your temperature on who do you want to see get into the Super Bowl now. Just running through the teams quickly, I'll give you kind of my first reaction to each team if they were to get there, and then I want you to do the exact same exercise.
All right.
Vikings, I would love to see it for Kirk Cousins, who played here, who I think incorrectly gets evaluated as a guy that isn't able to help his team win critical football games. 49ers, I'd love to see it because Kyle Shanahan coached here and got fired, but also I love that style of play. I love how they're dominant at running the ball down your throat, but thrive in play action, take their shots down the field, exceptional defensively, get to the quarterback. The way the 49ers have built their team is how, if I was an executive, like, I'd like to build a club. Young, fast defensively, and basically predicate themselves on play action and some shot plays on first down in the passing game. The Titans, I think that'd be super boring to watch. However, I'll root for them for this reason. I think Derrick Henry is completely underrated. Nobody ever talks about that guy. He just led the NFL in rushing this year. He single-handedly put all of his teammates on his back and beat the Patriots. And I'm a Mike Vrabel fan and have been since he was playing out of position, like catching touchdown passes as a linebacker a bunch of years ago. I think it'd be cool for a young head coach who didn't really coach at lower levels, wasn't a college head coach, just positionally for a couple of years, learned on the fly, and then took over. I think that would be neat to see. Ravens would be fascinating because it would be an experiment garnering a result. At that point, we'd have a read option quarterback in the National Football League win a title for the first time. We'd have a team that doesn't throw the ball down the field a whole lot, that we've said all year long probably as a throw first operation wouldn't work, but they'd be able to get by doing it their way, a way that a lot of people said is not going to last throughout the playoffs. I think that'd be good for the league. You see a lot more running quarterbacks, dual threat quarterbacks, read option offenses. You're starting to already see that mobile quarterbacks is the name of the game with Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson also in the playoffs. Speaking of Watson, he and Pat Mahomes going head-to-head. Texans, honestly, I don't have much interest in them winning the Super Bowl other than that I love Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. And when he won the title at Clemson, I thought it was a great story because this is a guy who came up with very little. He actually was one of the families that benefited from a house provided by Warrick Dunn. Years and years ago, Warrick Dunn used to buy families of single mothers' homes. And Deshaun Watson was one of the kids who benefited from that. And now he's turned himself into one of the great quarterbacks on the planet. You know that I'm all in on the Chiefs. Not only do I like Mahomes, but I think Andy Reid, like Kirk Cousins, bad narratives, incorrect information, very good head coach. And I'd love to see him finally win a Super Bowl. He's been really good for a long time. Seahawks, I don't have much interest in, honestly. They've done it fairly recently. I find Russell Wilson to be a excellent quarterback and a playmaker and a decent human being, so I don't root against him, but I've watched him hold the Lombardi Trophy before. Seen Not it. Really for me. Packers, sign me up. I'm a Matt LaFleur guy. He was here. I think that them going to the running game this year has benefited Aaron Rodgers, and I think it would be a shame if he only won one title in a career as one of the great quarterbacks ever that he's been as dominant as he is for that long. So those are my kind of first thoughts on each of those teams as it pertains to them winning it all. What about you?
I'd echo pretty much everything you said, but I'll give you my favorites here. I generally don't root for Baltimore in things, but I love how correct their process is. I love everything about what they're doing. They adapt. They have a smart general manager who, you know, makes sure that everybody in the organization knows we're going to use this new information. We're not going to ignore it. We're not going to get a little fire off head on a hat and just play dinosaur football. They're very smart with the way they do things, so I want to reward that. And Green Bay, because I have been critical of Mike McCarthy, I would love for them to win it without Mike McCarthy. Just to me proving what I've long suspected is Mike McCarthy standing next to home plate as Aaron Rodgers crosses home plate from homering and Mike McCarthy waving his hands at the crowd, taking credit for the homer. That's what I want. I want Green Bay to get out of there, and I'd love for them to play Baltimore. Kind of my 1B there would be Kansas City coming out of the AFC. Again, I love their process as well. They're smart the way they go about their business. I've always liked it. I found it easy to poke fun at Andy Reid when he was doing what he did in Philadelphia, and they never really won the big game or Super Bowl or whatever it was, but I think that narrative is stupid.
That's the fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody likes to take their shots
right.
at him.
But in terms of the analysis of it, the idea that Andy Reid just simply can't coach in large, meaningful games, I think he coaches just fine. His, you know, a guy lined up off sides. That's why they didn't beat the Patriots last year. So I'd like to see Kansas City as well. So Baltimore 1, maybe Kansas City 1A out of the AFC.
Against the Packers. For me, I would my Super Bowl, if I could choose one, would be Chiefs-Vikings. If not that matchup, I would give you, I would probably say 49ers. And if I can't take the Chiefs, I would go with the Titans.
Titans, really?
Yeah. It's just new. It's well, different. It's
like,
fun. It's unique.
I also want like the
I've never gave them a chance. Even right now, I give them no chance.
Right. Think of the I just tell you this real quick. Young head coach, what do you think of? A guy that's like 5'9", 170,
yeah,
really
Sean
nice
McVay.
Hair, you know, offensive guy. Probably played at a middle tier Division I AA college. How about a young coach that was an NFL linebacker? Right? A young coach that's actually a defensive guy.
Yeah, basically like Ron Rivera 3 years in.
Right? You know, I that would be exciting.
Yeah, and it would be different. It would be new. If it's the Titans, they've never won a Super Bowl as the Tennessee Titans. If it's the Vikings, to my knowledge, they've never won a Super Bowl, right? Like all those purple people eater teams would
they never
get there
did.
And
they
lose.
They had some great teams that didn't win.
So, yeah, I'm cool with that. And again, the other NFC team would be the 49ers. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067 if you want to call in. What would be your preferred Super Bowl matchup and why? What and who are you pulling for the rest of the way? Carl Hagelin of the Caps is on the show at 12:45.
Guys, Grant and Danny here for our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. They know how hard it is. We know how hard it is, right? You're trying to do this on your own. Losing weight can be so challenging. It doesn't require just a crash diet or some sort of crazy exercise program. It requires critical difficult lifestyle changes. That's what EMP 180 is here to help you with. Let them. They give their clients the tools to lose the weight and the EMP power to help them keep it off forever.
Hey, you're probably sitting there saying, I've tried things before. It didn't work. I'm not doing it again. Well, most of the clients at EMP 180 have tried other different programs without seeing long-term lasting results. This is different. EMP 180 is going to give you the tools to lose the weight, empower you to keep the weight off forever. EMP 180 believes weight loss is a team effort. They got incredible coaches that invest and your long-term success support you every step of the way. Go to emp180.com. That's emp180.com and get a consultation set up for today. Or call them at 888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. And when you do, you're doing what I did and what Danny did, what my brothers did. You're calling that 855-888-0180 number because you know it's going to change your life forever. It's going to empower you. It's going to make you healthier than you've been before. Winger Carl Hagelin's on the show at 12:45 in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll answer five big Redskins questions from a piece in the Washington Post about their offseason. And a media member who's apparently credentialed to a bunch of big events got gloves from Kyle Rudolph after he had the game-winning catch in overtime against the Saints, and then he got Rudolph to sign them so that he could auction them off for charity, except that when Rudolph gave him the gloves, they immediately ended up on eBay. And it turns out it seems like this person has done this act a bunch of times where he gets items from players signed and puts them on eBay. And
so bad.
Have to imagine potentially each time is asking them for this merchandise for charity. And it should be noted, by the way, that if you're in the media and you're in the locker room, you're not allowed to get autographs anyway. That was one of the first things I learned. And at the time, I was 10 or 11, and people would always say, can you get me this autograph from this player?
Absolutely not.
You can't ask for an autograph. I never have one time my entire life covering games. I've been doing it since I was a kid. But you can't cheer in the press box, and you can't get autographs. Those are kind of two of the first things you learn that differentiate your first day on the job as media from the day before that when you were in the crowd sitting there watching as a fan. So it's a really disturbing story for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. The worst one to me is I understand the decorum that is supposed to happen, and that's obviously that matters and that's appropriate. I care a lot less about that in this case than the this is for charity.
Of course.
Oh, wait, no, it's not. You're basically, you know, lying, to, taking advantage of somebody's goodwill to, you know,
that's the whole story.
To profit by like $30 or whatever the stupid gloves went for. That's just, that to me just stinks.
It's coming up at 118 on Grant and Danny. It's turned into a good thing. A lot of Vikings fans are making it a happy ending here. But what is your preferred Super Bowl matchup? That is the question we are asking you. You can call us at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. And why do you want to see that matchup? Let's go to Steve in Rockville.
Hey,
what's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Jeez, what's up, dude?
I'm liking Kansas City and Seattle. couple things with Seattle. I'm curious how they would use Bobby Wagner on defense against their offense. And I was hoping that the Redskins would draft Russell Wilson back when he was available. And if I'm not mistaken, Mike Shanahan mentioned after the fact that if Russell Wilson was available, he would have taken him, and that's why he took Kirk Cousins. And I was just, like, fascinated by the idea of Robert Griffin and Russell Wilson in the same training camp. And what a disaster they would have created with that. But
oh,
I'm a big Russell Wilson fan.
Hey, by the way, did you hear when Danny yelled cheese at you? He just said, hey, cheese,
what's up,
man?
I thought you were
man?
Somebody else, buddy. I'm sorry.
What did you think when he did that?
I just thought that was a general, you know, throw out, and you know, just a hello, whatever, to be honest.
That's completely my fault, sir.
No problem. I've been called a lot worse, Danny. Trust me.
I'm right looking on. At Danny going, cheese is a caller whose name's Steve. And I'm going, this is not him, though.
His introductory, like, what's up, guys? I was like, oh, that's cheese. He's going to clear his throat. Then you'll hear it's him. Not him at all. Just not the guy that I thought it was. And cheese is on my brain because MLB responded to one of his tweets about the Nationals this morning, and it was pointed out by another one of our listeners. I'm having a scuffle this segment. Okay, I just bricked a three. I airballed a free throw. I'm Jan Mahiming this segment right now. I apologize.
The 2012 draft. You can go back and re-legislate a bunch of different ways to make it all the more interesting. But yeah, Russell Wilson would have been an option there. You know, you look at the 2012 class and who went in the first round. Luck, who had a great run with the Colts out of football. Robert Griffin, a backup who has not been a starter since leaving Washington.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Wilson, who went in the third round, and Cousins, who went in the fourth round, are the most successful QBs from that entire crop. And that was supposed to be one of the most legendary, transcendent classes in years and years. And the idea was Luck versus Griffin would be the way of the NFL. That was going to be Brady and Manning for 15 years.
Crazy. It's a good class, though. I mean, a lot of good things happen, except Trent Richardson at number three. Not sure what he's doing right now.
Well, you could play that game, that whole early first round. Justin Blackman was in that class, wasn't he?
That's a good pull, yes.
I think he went like seventh
at number
or sixth.
Five, yeah. Tannehill still dancing. Luke Kuechly still crushing people.
Tannehill having a bounce back because he was a backup at the beginning of the year. He was the sixth overall pick, too, wasn't he?
That's, I believe, no, eight to
eight.
Miami.
Okay, yeah, because the Redskins had six and traded up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have taken Tannehill at six if they wanted to stay put, I guess. Drew in Ashburn, you're on the fan. What's going on?
Hey, Grandaddy, how are you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Good.
My first choice, I think, would be Green Bay and Kansas City for two reasons. One, I like to see Rodgers and Mahomes go at it. I think that'd be an awesome matchup on the quarterback side of the ball. Second, though, I think with it being the 100-year anniversary of the NFL and Kansas City and Green Bay being the first Super Bowl after the merger,
oh, wow.
I think historically that'd be a cool matchup. My second choice, though, would be Minnesota and Tennessee. I'm a big Kirk Cousins fan. I loved him here in Washington. Second, I'm a big Bama fan, so I want to see Derrick Henry do well. I think he's one of the most underrated players out there. And just get some new blood in there.
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, great call, dude.
Any kind of matchup like that where there's the Vikings, even the 49ers, because it's been a long time since they've won. They were in the 2012 Super Bowl when Kaepernick led them against the Ravens in that Beyonce halftime performance, second half blackout in the Superdome
game.
That was such a fun Super Bowl for a lot of different reasons. But, yeah, anything that's new, like the Titans would be fresh. Seattle, to me, boring. I played that game a couple times recently. No thank you. I want a new Super Bowl. It's crazy, by the way, how many teams, if you look at the Vegas odds from the start of the year, who are expected to be the highest chance of getting to the Super Bowl that didn't even make the playoffs are already eliminated. I think the seven top teams in the Vegas odds at the start of the year to win the Super Bowl are already out. So it's
really?
Already going to be
top seven?
Fun and surprising, other than the Chiefs. I think they were the only one.
The Chiefs,
it's like
yeah.
one of the best eight or something. But nobody really thought that the Titans were going to be here. San Francisco was going to be a one seed. Green Bay wasn't supposed to get a bye this year. Seattle was supposed to have taken a step back. Remember in that division, the Rams were supposed to be the last team
That's
standing.
Right.
If the Chiefs got to the Super Bowl, I'd be happy just because Kansas City's fan base is great. When's the last time the Chiefs were in a Super Bowl?
Like Hank Stram in the 60s? Seriously, I think.
Why not them?
Right?
You could say the Texans because they've never been there either.
They've never done it.
But for some reason, I don't know if it's just Mr. O'Brien or what. I have a little bit harder time rooting for them to do
it. So it's not even just the Mr. O'Brien in our history therein. We don't have to go into it. But for me, They made him the general manager. I need that process to fail and crash and burn as soon as it's possible. I want that to go, and I want everyone to know that that's wrong. I want everyone to know that that's not the correct way to do it. And that needs to happen as soon as possible.
Chad just tweeted
I saw it. God.
He said, looking forward to Danny calling Marcus in College Park cheese later.
I was hoping you guys would
also
notice.
The excitement level. You didn't even wait for him to get a point out.
I know what I did.
As soon as he said hello, he goes, hey, guys.
I'm like, hey, cheese.
Hey.
What's
cheese?
Up, buddy?
Where you been?
I know.
Why were you so sure it was him?
I don't know. I don't know why it mattered to me that much. I like cheese. I just don't know. I was way too excited.
He also doesn't go by Steve ever. I've never called him Steve in anywhere. And then he doesn't.
Well, he doesn't come up on the call screen as Luke Thomas voice guy or cheese, does he? Isn't it just Steve in Rockville?
No, Brennan would put him as like
Brennan
Luke
puts
Thomas.
Luke, oh, crap.
Yeah, and also, I don't think he's from Rockville. I think literally everything about this is botched.
Is it Steve's in Rockville?
He's a Silver Spring guy.
Silver Spring, oh my God.
But you just yell,
oh,
hey,
I just
cheese.
Screwed this whole thing up.
I just like that dude just pushed through it.
I am.
Can you imagine just, forget calling someone, but just walking by someone and then being like, what's up, cheese? And you just act like they didn't say that.
Cheese, what's up, dude? The guy's like, yeah, anyway, I the first Super Bowl ever was Kansas City and Green Bay. Yeah, guilty as charged on that one. That is a botch.
Cap swinger, Carl Hagelin. Joins the show next, a weekly staple on Grant and Danny, 12:45 every Thursday. If you have not heard Hagelin on the show, he's excellent. We have had different Caps players over the years, and we've been up and down with the performance of those Caps players. Don't always get a lot of energy, but Hagelin is awesome. Can't wait to talk to him next. G&D on the Fan. Last night within the Metro, the Caps lost a one-goal game in Philly to the Flyers. Really, it was brutal because they had five power plays. They went 0-for-5 with a man advantage and actually gave up a shorthanded goal while going 0-for-5, and that proved to be the difference. Talk about that game and what has been a tremendous season to this point. Our buddy Carl Hagelin is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, where Hags joins us every Wednesday at 12:45. Carl, thanks for a couple of minutes. Really appreciate it. Let's just start with the power play. I know you're not on it or a part of it, but you got a front row seat on the bench. What was issue with it last night? Why was it such a problem?
Well, I think first of all, they did a pretty good job. Their PK, they were good at, they were being aggressive, and they kind of knew took away a lot of our options. And I think when a team is that aggressive, you have to execute, you know, two or three passes in a row, and we weren't able to do that. When a team is that aggressive and you execute two, three passes in a row, finally something good's going to open up. But I feel like we never really got to that point. And then, you know, it's unfortunate there that they actually scored a goal shorthanded too.
Carl Hagelin's presented by FH for plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electrical. When you go through a rut like this, it doesn't have to be the power play, which, as I mentioned, you're not on, so it may not be fair to have you answer questions about it. But let's say if the penalty kill was scuffling, which yours isn't, or anything else, it's been about 5 weeks of this now. The power play is actually ranked 30th in the NHL out of 31 teams since December 1st. At what point normally does a coach kind of make a tweak or an audible or say, hey, guys, let's try something different? Because as of right now, it's been the same plan and the same operation without any real changes, waiting for a different result.
Well, I think when it comes to the personnel, I don't think we're going to change too much. I think that's, you know, those guys, our first unit, they've been together for a while, and they show that they're, you know, a top five power play unit in the league. And like you said, you're obviously going to go through times during the year when you're hot and sometimes when you're cold. I think that's the time when you just got to simplify things, just take some more shots and, you know, hope you get maybe just a lucky one. And because I've seen some power plays that are struggling, all of a sudden they get a goal and then they get hot. And once those guys are hot, they find each other out there and they make plays that, you know, other guys can't make. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, sticking to the process right now. Obviously, there's certain things we'll tweak before every game, actually, depending on how the other team kills. And that's what's going to happen for next game as well.
Carl Hagelin with us every Thursday, 12:45 here on Grant and Danny. Carl, I'm curious how this works. I've never actually found this out, just sort of in general. I know baseball where, you know, they play so many games and errors happen, mistakes happen behind a pitcher. If he ends up giving up more runs, having to throw more pitches, you know, guys are pros. They don't like go up and apologize or anything just because things are going to equal out. But on a game last night where I thought Holtby was good, didn't really deserve to give up any of those goals, and yet he's got three goals on his ledger, so it's going to hurt all the averages and stuff like that. Anything gets said where it's like, hey, dude, our bad on this one? Or is it just one of those things where you guys are pros and you move on to the next?
I think, you know, sometimes certain guys, if they make a mistake that turns out to, you know, be the other team's game-winning goal, or just, you know, if you make a mistake and it somehow ends up in your own net, you usually tell the goalie, you know, I'm sorry. That's just how it is. You know, he's in a vulnerable position. Obviously, the goalie, he's the guy who's going to get the blame a lot of times. But like you said, we're professionals. We move on. Same thing. If our goalie makes a mistake, he doesn't have to say sorry. That's part of the game. But I think, you know, as a player, if you make a mistake, a clear mistake that turns into a goal for their team, you obviously let your goalie know that, hey, that's on me.
Is it strange to you that you guys haven't played the Penguins yet? And you're really starting to finally get into the division now. That's going to be odd down the stretch, right? It'll seem like you guys play them every other week at a couple different points. Is this a schedule that's unusual to you?
Yeah, it is. I feel like there's a lot of Metro games coming up. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, it's, you know, these points are even more valuable than the points you get early on in the year. It means that much more. I know we have Jersey coming up twice here in three games, and there's a lot of Metro games. And then I saw we're playing Pittsburgh four times in a month there, starting early February, and, you know, we're done early March against them, I guess. And it's all afternoon games. I saw that too. So it's definitely strange, but that's, you know, that's the way the league wanted to be, getting close to the playoffs. You want that rivalry to kind of, you want a little glimpse of it already then.
So as you guys kind of get back into the rhythm here with some of the days off and things that you guys had around the holiday and everything else, what kind of exercise stuff do you guys do to sort of stay with it, like the wellness type things, right? Because you want to make sure you're replenishing the body, but at the same time, you don't want to get run down. Because this really feels to me like I'm a hockey player, like I know anything. But it would feel to me like this is really the dog days here when you know get into the new year and you guys are really into the grind of the season. How do you sort of maintain?
Well, I think every guy is different, but it's, you know, it's a lot is up to our strength coach, Mark Nemish. He likes us to do most of our workouts after games, actually, this time of year, because you're already warmed up, and then you can get maybe, we might do like four to six exercises, two to three sets per. So there's nothing super heavy that we're doing, but you just, like you said, you want to keep the body engaged. You want the blood flow to different muscle groups, just to, you know, not get injured. I think that's what you're looking at right now, and you don't want to lose, you know, too much of what you built up in the summer. And at the same time, it's not like you can go in and do a bunch of heavy squats and then feel good the day after. So it's a fine line, but, you know, luckily for some of us that have been in the league for a long time, you kind of know your body, you know what you need, and then I think sometimes if you're not feeling great, that's a time when you might have to get on the bike and do some sprints, or maybe do a little heavier of a lift just to kind of wake the body up.
Carl Hagelin of the Capitals, your entire career almost has been spent in the Metro, with all due respect to the minimal little stints you had in Anaheim and L.A. You were with the Rangers, you were with the Penguins, and obviously now the Capitals. So you know a thing or two about Flyers fans hating you. Where does that building or that fan base that you play against rank against some of the more hostile environments? Last night, it actually seemed like it was quiet. There weren't a lot of people there. And what are your favorite buildings to play in?
Yeah, I think against Philly, it's always been pretty hostile. Probably when I've been there with the Caps, it's probably the least hostile it's ever been. I think with the Rangers and with Pittsburgh, there's always crazy games there, very loud. Like you said yesterday, maybe it was because we're on the PP so much that the building got pretty quiet, but yeah, I like playing there. It's a fun building to play in. Some of the other good ones in the league, obviously, for me, coming back to MSG is always special. You know, they might not have been that good of a team the last couple of years, but it's, you know, they're starting to play better now. But it's always special to get back to MSG, and then you know, going to Montreal has always been cool. You just kind of sense and feel the history in there, and you can feel how much knowledge all the fans have. So that's a special place too.
It feels like a Wrigley Field maybe, or a Fenway Park or
right.
something.
Right.
Best actual ice and worst ice to play on in terms of the sheet and the quality of the ice. I know that's a big factor for you guys.
Right. I think that a lot of the Canadian teams have great ice, actually. I don't know what it is, if it's the water up there. It's hard to pick one, but I think a lot of the Canadian teams have great ice. I think Arizona is not my favorite ice, so I'll pick that as the worst.
Seems like there's a correlation between heat. Anyway.
Exactly.
So would that be the same answer then, your least favorite place to play in general? Not just the ice surface, but kind of anywhere?
Good question. No, I think Minnesota might be the least favorite.
Really? How come?
I don't know. I think it might have started because I played in that building my last game of my college career. We lost in overtime in the championship game, so maybe that plays a role with it. Mm. And I don't know if I've won a ton of games there throughout my career, so that's
probably
why.
If you have enough bad memories, it can happen that way quickly.
Exactly.
Well, Carl, you guys get back on track against the Devils. Should be able to do that the way they're playing here this weekend. And best of luck to you in continuing a strong start to the year. Before last night, you guys were 3-for-3. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet. It's Carl Hagelin of the First Place Capitals, who are playoff bound. You'll hear him every Thursday at 12:45 on Grant and Danny right here on 106.7 The Fan. Hagelin, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Home of 83 or it's free, FH Fur will clear any slow or clogged drain for just $83. If they can't, it is free. Details at fhfur.com. In our final hour of the show today, Justin Kutch will be in studio, who calls calls Wizards games at 1:30. And next, 5 big Redskins questions. Piece we saw in the Washington Post. We'll go through the burning offseason questions for the Skins one by one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.